It may be time to take another look at prayer. Christmas 2021 for us may bring a time to take another look at our devotional life, our worship life, another look at prayer. Our Advent daily devotions have guided us in this direction day by day. And all through the fall, we have noted that faith comes to most of us one step at a time. Yes, there are some for whom a blinding light on the road to Damascus comes, a blinding light on the road of faith, carrying us to faith. But most of us come along more gradually, one step, and then another, and then another. One such step in faith is to find the rhythm of prayer and of devotion that fits your own most self. This morning, it may be, is a time for that step, to take another look at prayer, at mystery, at the numinous, at worship. The elusive presence of the divine lies at the marrow of the Christmas gospel, embedded in the strange stories of the season. Our gospel lesson this morning is a case in point. Luke acquaints us with two births, John and Jesus, two mothers, Mary and Elizabeth. Multiple generations are engaged in audible utterance at the dawn of a new age, at the dawn of the new creation. I heard the sound. The child leaped. The Holy Scripture read in worship itself may call you this morning to another look at prayer. A familiar introit has called us to prayer. There are carols and hymns sung, and you hear them. You recognize again a Kyrie, a sung sorrow, crucial to being human in any day, crucial to being human today. Mercy, Lord have mercy. And then some courageous soul has led us in a canticle, often a psalm, anthem, hymn, reading, prayer. And a story so well known that it is unknown. A story of birth. Let there be no separation between what is said and what is heard this morning. Let the snow filter fully down this morning. Snow upon snow. Let the message of the day be yours and ours. For Jesus' birth is like all births in that physical sense, utterly predictable. Yet ask yourself, where in life have you felt closer to miracle than at the moment of birth? An extraordinary ordinary, an ordinary extraordinary. For the telling of Christmas from the very first was about birth, but about more than one birth, more than one kind of birth. The gospel writer is trying to say what cannot readily or easily be said, to connect the sense of the extraordinary with the experience of the ordinary. There were many births in first century Palestine. To this one birth, there came attached a second birth. Yes, that of John the Baptist alongside that of Jesus, but more so his birth somehow alongside our own. Charles Wesley caught the marrow of the message in a phrase, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. For the Wesleys both, it was the incarnation of Christ, his birth and life and word made flesh, which rooted and grounded their reverence. The English carols we most love, both those Charles wrote and those that were influenced by him and that he influenced, bring a disciplined obedience to a fever pitch. Our scripture lessons today bring harmonic support to the intersection of the ordinary and the extraordinary. Which intersection is the mailing address of prayer? Micah, Mary, Hebrews, Elizabeth, whether in prophecy or in song or in address, the voices of today's scriptures also lift up the strange paradox of earthly heaven and heavenly earth. What does the scripture mean by the birth of the Christ, and what especially does this mean for us, for our second birth, as the carol has it? Are we able to enter again into our mother's womb, either in figure or in truth? But no. That is the question Nicodemus raised, to no avail. That is, we cannot return to an earlier condition, nor to an earlier conception of an earlier condition. Heraclitus was so right so long ago, no one ever steps into the same river twice. The second birth clearly is not a physical or conceptual retreat or return or recapitulation. It is a step forward, another look, another step in faith. Are we to assume a second naivete at the heart of the Wesleyan second birth? Paul Ricoeur and others, using other terms, have recalled to us the mature midlife importance of such a second birth. The scripture in other quarters clearly connects the meaning of the birth with the meaning of the name of the newborn, one who will save his people from their sins. Paul may speak of the Christ as the Lord of a new creation. Mark may affirm the Christ as hidden and crucified. John may herald the Christ at his coming as one with God, revealing God. Matthew, early and late, acclaims the atonement wrought in Christ, the healing from past error, the steady saving removal to higher ground. And this is a great hope, the hope of freedom, deliverance from what has hurt in the past. Today, Luke heralds two births, the Baptist and the Christ, John and Jesus, two. When saving liberation occurs, there is a kind of second birth, a new lease on life, a new life. And this second birth is the one that carries you forward one step at a time, to take another look at prayer. Something somehow has brought you to prayer this Sunday morning. Here you are, present or listening or both. Maybe you have been at this intersection before, and maybe just now you're ready to take another look. Nudges come from many directions. You may have heard the Methodist minister from Western Kentucky, the Reverend Joey Reed, last week. Standing in the rubble of his Mayfield, Kentucky church, in the basement of which he and his wife had survived the tornado, I realized he said. It might be my last few moments on earth, and I was very glad to be with my wife, he said. I know her prayer and mine was that we'd be spared. I was afraid for my children. What would happen to them without us? How they would respond to this? And then, straightway, he began talking about helping others, regathering the congregation, holding on to the precious memories of that building, and with grateful tears, looking forward to the summer solemnizing of the marriage of his daughter. That is, in the midst of trauma, he called on the grammar of faith. He called on the language of worship. He called on the cadences of prayer. Or it may be the beautiful music of our organ and organist draw you come Sunday, week by week. Through the late afternoons of pandemic, with the office downstairs quiet and the organ upstairs playing in the nave, brought us, those afternoons of quiet, another deep look at prayer, a powerful listening look at prayer. For the organ preaches its own sermon, lifts its own prayer week by week as a friend's reminder of Thomas Troeger's poem recently recalled. With pipes of tin and wood make known the truth each star displays. Creation is a field that's sown with seeds of thanks and praise. Articulate with measured sound the song that fills all solid matter sings. With pipes of tin and wood restart the fire the prophets knew and fan the flame within the heart to do what God would do. Pull out the stops that train the ear, the flute and reed to listen and more subtly hear God's call through human need. With pipes of tin and wood repeat, the music danced and played to welcome home and warmly greet the prodigal who strayed. Let healing harmonies release the hurt the heart compiles, that God through music may increase the grace that reconciles. With pipes disclose the song the world has blurred, the hymn of life and love that flows from God's renewing word. Then boldly open wide the swell and with a trumpet call, announce the news we thirst to tell, that Christ is Lord of all. Here is a Christmas word. You are still listening, if you are still listening. And I am still preaching for a few more minutes. And we are together amid the daily, hourly, difficult pandemic worries to one side and a sense of the extraordinary on the other. For all the sorrow there is still on your part and on mine and on others, a listening ear, a willingness to tune in, a hard to articulate longing, a reaching toward another look. What is that listening? What is that willingness? What is that longing? One form of the second birth is here, one form, a second religious birth, a second connection, a second opening. You would not listen if there were not some meager eagerness to wake up to another. Generosity, compassion, forgiveness, these are the hallmarks and doorways into that second birth. You have the heart to give something to others, generously to give something without expecting any personal return. You have the Spirit to be present with someone whose own spirit is sore, spiritually to walk with a fellow human being. You have the soul to forgive a past fault, whether it was 30 days or 30 years ago, and mercifully to move on and say so and mean it. Your generosity, your compassion, your forgiveness, at least your longing for and leaning toward and listening to them, these are the natal cries of prayer. Another look at prayer. You may be ready to pray or to pray again. Last Sunday, we prepared for worship, readers and choristers and clergy, looking greatly forward to the chance to pray and to sing the glorious carols of Christmas. We expected a modest gathering, a partial percentage of our regular seasonal attendance. And then we processed into the nave, and my goodness, the church was full, or nearly so. It took the breath away. It was another look given by those ready maybe to take another look. Another look at religion, at singing, at sacrament, at scripture, at sermon, at worship. Another look at prayer. The worship of Almighty God is not a matter of indifference. Said and sang that strong gathered throng last Sunday, the worship of Almighty God is not a matter of indifference. Take another look. Take another look at prayer, at a kind of prayer that suits you, fits you, is meant for you. In the new year, may we be given a gift of another look, a new start on a genuine religious life. Howard Thurman would not be surprised. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers and sisters, to make music in the heart. Amen.